Michael.
All right, I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to Psalms 119. Psalms 119.
You know, I really, oh man, as we come before the presence of the Lord today, as we stand in God's presence, and if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front of you, and I want to encourage you to get it out if you don't have a Bible. This morning, I would just ask by the Holy Spirit that if you have a Bible or don't have one, get one in front of you and that you would open it. I want you to see it for yourself and have it. Not coming through? Okay. It's on, but I talk loud, though. Do we realize how precious it is that God Almighty would speak His words and He would give it to us in letters on the page? When we look at the Bible from the Old Testament and the New Testament, it all points to Jesus Christ. And this Bible is filled with God's plan of salvation. The Old Testament looking forward to Christ, and the New Testament about Christ coming, and on in the epistles to describe in more detail about what Christ did, and that He's coming again. This Bible contains the words of life. And I want to tell you, and I want to stress this with such importance today, because the Word of God has been really taken out of our lives, and we've replaced it with technology, we've replaced it with other things, and it's even being taken out of the church. I remember talking to a brother that grew up in the Jesus movement. Anybody remember that during the 60s and 70s? Maybe you didn't know what was happening in California. There was just such a revival and a great move of God's Spirit. And in fact, a lot of our churches stand today because of that move of the Holy Spirit. Men and women, young men and women, college age, were carrying their Bibles, and they were big ones back then, around in the park, and they would just spontaneously sit down and have a Bible study in the park. They loved God's Word. They treasured God's Word to such an extent. And the fire of God and the gospel spread in an amazing, powerful way. People all over the globe right now are dying just to have a page. If they could just get a page rolled up into a cigarette, they'd be willing to give their lives for it. We're filled with discouragement, we're filled with problems and depression, but God's Word has the answer. Each and every one of us are going through difficult times in our lives. God's Word has the answer. It has healing power. And I want to pray that we would have a revival of God's Word, because let me tell you, every revival they had in the Old Testament and every revival throughout history comes when the people pray, but also when they pray and they bring out the Word of God. You studied the Old Testament. They forgot about God's Word. And then somebody discovered it back in some room somewhere in the temple. They got it out, and the people stood all day to hear it. They repented of their sins and turned to Jesus Christ, to faith in God once again. I don't know if we realize we have Bibles laying around everywhere. People are giving their blood life just to have a copy in China and other countries. Look, I've had times of insanity in my life where I feel like I was just ready to give up. Have you? I was ready to throw in the towel, but no one could help me. No person, no food, no drink, no anything could help me. No TV, no technology, and I love technology, could help me. these squiggly lines, if you could will, that get all tangled up in my brain and in your brain can only be smoothed out with the iron of God's Word. Can only be healed as we read God's Word, because it is His very Word, His very life. And you know, we're stuck with coming to the Bible. It's like we're afraid of the Bible because we look at it. Oh, look how big this is from front to back. It's there's a lot in it. But and we sit down and we read it and we say, oh, I got my reading in for the day. But this Bible is a gateway to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a gateway to God. Jesus says in the beginning, in John, the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, was God. Speaking of Jesus Christ in the flesh. And so when we come to the Word of God, I want to encourage you this morning to say, God, change my heart. This is not just a big book. I am coming to meet with You. I'm coming to hear You speak. And you know what's happening in the church today? People are just going around like blind people. Oh, this feels good over here, so let me feel this. And oh, there's almost like a crazy drunkenness that's come over younger generations looking for that feeling and that vibe. But it's we encounter God through His Word, through written truth. It's not a feeling. The feelings come afterwards once you read it. When the brain starts to get straightened out, boy, that feels good. That's a cause to rejoice. I want you to look in Psalms 119. David was a man that was passionate for God's Word. Psalms 119, and I just want to read one of these, and I want to explain to you the Hebrew alphabet. Each section of this psalm is a different letter of the alphabet. So it would be like A, B, C. So we went through them all, and I'm not going to get into that in detail today, but we're going to look at Wah this morning, and we're worshiping, and we can say wow, right? We don't really pronounce that word properly, but wow. Let's read verse 41 today. Wow. Can you say wow? Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me. Who's taunting you today? Who is after you today? Is it your own thoughts? Is it family members? Is it the devil himself? Is it demons? Is it our own kind of thoughts? Who is taunting you today? The Word of God has truth. When the devil came to tempt Jesus, what did Jesus use? He used the Word of God. He used the truth. He used something that was solid, that was sure, that was true. He says, your salvation according to your promise, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me. You want answers? You want answers? It's not going to be found in the government. We know that for sure. It's not going to be found in a nation. It's not going to be found in a pastor. It's not going to be found in a spiritual leader. It's not going to be found in a relationship. It's not going to be found in a school. It's not going to be found in a hobby. It's not going to be found in music. It's not going to be found in sport. The answers to what we need in our hearts when those tauntings come at us. And you know what I'm talking about. When we're laying at night or when you're at school and kids make fun of you at school, the answer is found in God's Word. He says, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord. It's a love relationship. Then I shall have an answer. And then he says, why? For I trust in your Word. I trust in your Word. Now, you know, back in the day, and there's still some of this going on, but it doesn't really work really good anymore. I'm going to sell you a portion of my property. This, I got them. You know what people do today? I got them. You know why? Because we don't keep our word. We have to have lawyers and legal things and things written on paper because we don't keep our words today. But God does. And so we don't trust people. We don't trust people when they tell us and when they say, I promise and I'm going to do this. And rightly so. We're living in a time where the love of many grows cold. He says, but I trust in your word. But I believe what you say is going to get me through this. when I go through the depths of death and the depths of tragedy in my life, when I face those ugly, haunting demons in my life, David says, I trust in your word. I trust it. Out of all doctrines in the church today, I would venture to say this one and the atonement of Christ are the two main doctrines that are being torn apart and attacked. Well, there's a lot of problems with the Bible. We don't know if we have the original manuscripts, and we don't know if this is really God's Word. But we have to remember that there was a resurrection that proves this Word. It's grounded in Jesus Christ. There was a man who died, and it's written as a fact in history, who gives testimony to His Word and who gives proof to His Word. And when people are trying to pick God's Word apart, say, well, that doesn't apply for today. That doesn't apply for right now. And, in the Old Testament, you know, God was angry. In the New Testament, He's loved. No, He was loving the Old Testament. He's loving the New Testament. He has justice and wrath in the Old Testament. He has justice and wrath in the New Testament. Just look at Revelation when He comes with a sword out of His mouth. That's New Testament. We can trust God's Word. We can trust it. Even when it doesn't feel like things are going to work out in my life. And right now, you might be going through something in your life where you feel like this is just not going to work itself out. This is not going to be what good in the end result. God, help us trust your Word. Do you believe what God's Word says is really true, like David? Do you believe? He says, and take not your word of truth out of my mouth. Don't let anybody take it away. God, don't take it away from me. Why? Because I hope in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place. For I have sought your precepts. Listen to this. You say, what does that have to do with anything? I walk in a wide place because I don't like huge crowds. It was, a couple years ago that we were down on our vacation in Florida, and my lovely wife and lovely brother-in-law just really enjoy those theme park kind of things and the water parks and the, you know, all those kinds of things. And well, when we happened to go, the water park was okay, except you got everybody's germs. I mean, everybody's walking around barefoot and all that kind of stuff, you know. Oh, poor Mike. Well, we go to this Busch Garden place and the theme park, and we're waiting 2 hours to have a 30-second ride, or 3 hours for a 30-second ride. Those little aisles you walk down are packed and filled with people. Now, this gets in the afternoon, and I'm starting to hyperventilate a little bit here. I turn around, there's a person. I turn around, there's another person. Things just are not working very well. I said, where's the exit? I'm going to hop the fence if I can't make it to the exit. So I said, let's go. And we started weaving it out of the, and I was glad when we got in our car and got out of there and got out of, you know, that kind of area. But, you know, when we think of our spiritual lives, it's cluttered with a lot of things, right? There's sin, there's things that we deal with in other people's lives, there's our enemies, there's people trying to take us down, there's people trying to make fun of us, and it's nice to have a wide open space. I mean, that's probably why all of you are sitting all scattered around, because you want your space. It's nice to have your space. He says, spiritually, he says, I'm going to make your path a wide place if you keep my laws, if you keep my rules, if you treasure my word in your heart. So we don't have to be spiritually claustrophobic here. And you know, we say, well, really, what does that really mean? We've talked about this many times, and I hope, young people, that you'll have this memorized. If God made you to be a plane, you can't be a boat. If God made you a boat, you can't be a plane and fly in the air. So when God created you and I, He created us to function, and this word is really our manual on how we can function in our lives. And to go outside of it, we say, well, this just doesn't feel right what it says in God's Word. And then I take my lawnmower, I get it out, the instructions say, do not drive this thing in water, and I go down to the creek, or the Tony gets after me for saying creek, that's what I grew up saying in Michigan, creek. It's a creek. It could be a crick, too. Crick. Who votes for crick? Let's have a quick vote. Okay. Oh, good. I'm thankful there's some supporters in here who thinks it's creek. Oh, you posh English people. All you posh English people that have proper English. So if I drive this lawnmower into the Crick Creek, it's not going to function very well. And that lawnmower is going to say, why am I not working right? My floaters aren't coming out. We look at God's Word and we look at some of these things and say, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do it this way. And then we wonder why we end up in a pool of mess of depression and discouragement and problems and all these things in our lives that are unnecessary. See, God made us to function according to the manual. And when we step outside of that, God made us to function in relationship with Him. And this is the relationship gateway with God. And if we don't view it as a relationship, we just view it as a letter in praise and on a page like a posh English people. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord. That's how some of us read our Bible. I mean, I can hear it, you know, in our voice. I've done it before. I mean, your salvation according to your promise. Don't forget the hack at the end of it. Ha! No. It's more like, oh Yahweh, my Creator, let your love, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to know it. Your salvation according to your promise. And then I'm going to have the answer for those. Lord, give me the answer to those that are taunting me. I'm encountering you. I'm speaking with you. I'm having a relationship with you. That takes the boringness out of a book. In today's generation, we don't like to read, but I pray that you'll begin to learn to like to read again, or at least listen to the Bible, because we have apps on our phone that we can listen to it, because it's what heals and what delivers. It's our gateway to God. And the reason why so many people get turned astray and they get caught into all kinds of messes, and we want to turn to drugs or alcohol and sex and all these other things, is because we've left our manual and we've forgotten how we're supposed to function. And as most people in here that have been serving Jesus would testify, it felt right, but it didn't work. This lawnmower wasn't made to go in the water. This lawnmower wasn't made to do that. It says, I will keep your law continually forever and ever. I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I want to challenge you, people of God, today, and we're not even going to get into the thrust of the message today, the technical side. Maybe we'll get into that next week, but I want you to begin to pray and ask God to give you a confidence in His Word that you've never had. Because what you're, especially young people, most of them aren't here today, so we're going to talk to them next week. But we have a man of God sitting in the back row right here, Mr. Jonathan. Mr. Jonathan, they're going to tell you at school, and when you get to college, it's going to get worse, that this Bible is not trustworthy. The reason why it's trustworthy is because of Jesus. And I want to point one thing out to all of you, and we're going to go through it again. But in the back of your notes, there's a chart there. How do we know the Bible is accurate today? I want you to see this, how foolish learned people can be in our colleges and universities. They want to discredit the Bible because we don't have the original manuscript it came from. But I don't hear people criticizing Iliad by Homer, which is something maybe you'll study in college, histories of Herodotus, collected works of Plato, which everybody talks about today, and the Gallic Wars. But what I want you to notice is how many of those manuscripts are still in existence today compared to the manuscripts of this word. And we have a hard time putting trust and faith in it, but look at that. The New Testament was written in the time between the originals and the copies that we have are 50 to 200 years. And there are some, there's fragments of Scripture that are only 30 years from the original. That's pretty short. Very short. In the Old Testament. And so we have 5,300 plus quotes from early church fathers and heretics of Scripture, of portions of Scripture. That's amazing. Now you look at Iliad. There's only, that one has the most, there's 643, but that has 400 years from the original, the earliest. That's a lot of time, isn't it? 400 years. So there's a lot of room for some problems there. How much more can we trust the Bible? Because it's closer to time. And then all these other things. Plato, 1,300 years from the originals that we have of the original manuscripts. So, young people, old alike. Jonathan, know that this thing has a lot more evidence to back it up than most other history books. Closer to the time of the originals, especially the New Testament. And furthermore, God's anointing and power and hand was upon the apostles. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and He's going to teach you to say everything that I've commanded you. Say, how did the apostles remember to write Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? And then the epistles. It's because the Holy Spirit came on them and they wrote down everything that Jesus did and said. In fact, probably some of them, if it was Luke the doctor, was probably keeping a journal as he was going along. There is so much evidence and proof for the Scriptures and the Word of God. So that ought to be enough to say, you know, there's so much more power and evidence and testimony to this book. But yet, this is the most torn apart book today in the world. Get people to doubt. If you don't think it's true, you could just look at YouTube videos, and any YouTube videos that talk about the credibility of the Bible, read all the nasty comments that are on that. But if you have maybe a worship time and where somebody's doing something goofy and funny, you won't find that much attack. You'll find a little bit here and there. But when it's the Word of God, when it's the credibility of the gospel and the foundation of everything that we believe, people are angry and they want to tear it apart. In fact, throughout history, people wanted to burn and stamp out the Bible, but they couldn't do it. Because it says in Revelation, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the living word that's inside of us. Paul says we are living epistles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we get saved, we are a testimony to the gospel. We are a testimony to the truth that Jesus has washed away our sins. He says, I sought. Will you seek? I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. Before teachers, before professors, some of the most powerful testimonies have been students who had such a confidence in the Word of God and such a relationship that professors that thought they were smart really weren't, with just a few statements that the Holy Spirit gave these students. He'll do the same for you. He promised that. He promised to give you the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He said, you shall not be put to shame. Although they might make fun of you, they may crucify you, they may say that's old and that doesn't apply for today, in the end you will not be put to shame. He says, "For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love." We love a lot of things: video games, food, steak, chocolate cake. But David said, "I love your word. I get my kicks, my delights, not from letters on the page, but because the letters on the page are a gateway with the great God who made the universe. I find my delight in your commandments, which I love, and I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." We have one baby that's in here asleep. I won't bother. Oh, and if that baby has a pacifier in the mouth, or a bottle, or mama, and that's removed, what does that baby do? Scream, cry, do this. David uses some beautiful imagery here. He says, "I will lift my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I'm going to meditate on those statutes. I want them. I want more of your word. I want your word to saturate my life." You know, as we look later in the Psalms, verse 103, he says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I don't know if you've ever experienced this spiritually, but you can. It's kind of a weird thing where you just feel like you just want to eat the, you want to start gnawing on your Bible. But that's a literal hunger that's spiritual for the truths of God's word. Not to literally eat the Bible, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, I just, God's word. Sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. Words of life. I'm praying for myself and for you, and I hope you'll join me in this prayer. Is God, bring me to the point where your words are sweeter than honey to me. Just can't get enough of them. I want to chew on them. I want to swallow them just as much as I want that chocolate cake. Just as much as I want that steak or those ribs or those wings. We'll have a broader audience here. That yogurt, for those of you that are trying to be good. Seafood. Sweeter than honey. So where are you going to go eat this afternoon? Not a yogurt stand, definitely not. Where are you going to eat this week? Are you more hungry for God than for the very food? That's why Jesus said, when I'm taken away, you're going to fast, because there should be that longing for the Savior that we cry out to God. And that's when we're going to see revival, because we're going to be hungry for God's Word, and we're going to see God come and change our church and grow our church and transform us from the inside out, turn everything upside down when God gives us that hunger. So pray for it. It's a big buffet. Enjoy it. Enjoy Jesus, I should say. Enjoy God. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. God, I would be the first to admit that your words have become dusty. And it's crazy, because I'm running around like a baby with my hands up looking to be have my needs met and looking to be satisfied, Lord. Knowing that the only thing that's sweeter than honey is your word is what satisfies. You satisfy. So, Father, I pray right now that you would renew our commitment to your word, that we would be able to truly say, not just sing in words in the song, truly say, my trust is in your word. I have hope in it. God, I just pray for an empowerment of your spirit to love your word. Every man, every woman, every young person, Lord. Be overcome by your word, Jesus. I'm going to ask us to stand this morning as we sing this closing song. And I'm going to ask